opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and are not representative of their employers, spouses, or associates. If you haven't gathered from the title, the language used on the show is akin to that of a high school boys' locker room. Listener discretion is advised.
The advice given in this podcast is worth what you pay for it, which is nothing.
Hello and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Effed Up Farming.
If that doesn't get your blood going, I don't know what will. Hello, everybody. My name is Royce O'Neill. I'm your host, and across from me in the crow's nest tonight, we've got Tyler Martin. We're up here having a good time, or to have a good time. He had to get up and shut the door. How are you this evening, Tyler?
I'm doing well. I figured it is best if we went ahead and closed that door because, you know, we're starting off with a little wolf mother.
I gotcha.
It's about to get loud.
Things is about to go off the rails.
Were they ever on them? I think that's the only question people really have.
I doubt it. I doubt that we ever started on a rail.
No. But that's so, okay. How you been?
I've been good, buddy. How about yourself?
Pretty good since the last, I don't know, what, 5 hours ago that I saw you?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, 5 hours.
It's like 2:30. 6 hours.
5 and a half.
Oh, okay. You've been here for a minute, I guess. So yeah. We'll go ahead and call it 5 and a half.
I showed up at 8.
That's fair. That's fair. You did. You were punctual.
You said 8:30. You know me.
And you showed up at
never
8.
Never late.
At 8.
Never late.
Didn't know how the daughter was going to go to bed tonight, so.
It happens.
After she got done fighting with us, she finally went to sleep.
Well, that's
beside
good.
Beside the unicorn instead of on it. She wanted to sleep on her unicorn.
Well, why didn't you let her?
Because I was afraid she was going to roll over and roll off the bed.
Maybe with that attitude, why don't you try having a little faith in your kids? You know, this is what's the problem with America today. All right, nobody has faith in their kids to just take their lumps and learn a fucking lesson.
No, you're
that's how we
right.
got into this shit show.
Is it?
It's got to be at least part of it.
50%, I don't know.
At this point, I don't know like if you can really narrow it down to one thing. I know a lot of people like to say it's whenever we killed Harambee.
Okay.
When it all started going downhill. Frankly, I feel like we were going downhill at that point.
Oh, yeah, we were definitely
it
on
might
this
have kid. Accelerated it, but it didn't cause the downfall of our society.
No, it did not cause it. It like you may be right. It may have accelerated it. I don't know.
And that's just because a bunch of butthurt little kids got mad because they saved a kid's life.
Yeah.
I said what I said. Come at me.
I mean, you're not wrong.
What does that say about our society that we value the life of a gorilla over a baby?
Well, there are lots of babies. There ain't that many gorillas, bud.
Exactly.
But if it was your baby,
when's the last time you saw a gorilla?
Been a hot minute, bud.
I'm not going to miss them if they're gone. I don't think I've ever seen one.
Try to think. I think I've seen a gorilla.
Oh, I have at Oklahoma City Zoo.
Okay.
And probably at the Fort Worth Zoo, if I was guessing.
Probably.
I bet they've got a gorilla. They got everything.
I'm sure they've got gorillas.
Yeah. So, anywho's, now that we've got off grinded gears. Let's talk about some sponsors.
Let's do it.
Let's
Tyler.
Grind those checks. First up, Martinsburg, Saskatchewan.
Got the Cliffs Farms or Livestock Podcast. Whichever one you want to go with today. Which one we repping today?
Oh, it was going to be Cliffs Farms, but I was trying to think of a clever nickname for Canada. It's not happening. So it looks like we're going with the old standby. Y'all go check out our good friend Canada up there in Canada.
Up there in Canada land.
Eh?
Yeah.
Decent cattle. They got some attention sons and daughters for sale.
No longer semen.
No longer semen. The semen sold has out.
Been raised.
Y'all did your job. You bought what we needed you to. Now let's go buy them daughters.
Buy them calves. Maybe a son if you want to. That way you can still get you like 50% attention semen.
Well, it depends on how double bred that would you get that back to. You might could get it. Might could get it back up past 50%.
Depends on what she's bred to, but you are correct. Also, we've got Meat Club Lambs in Gageby, Texas. Best sheep, best people in the business.
No doubt. So sorry for y'all's loss.
It's terrible. And then we've got Mo Cattle Company.
Speaking of semen, we got some semen makers for sale.
Four of them. They're going to be in the sale over at Wildorado.
Just got the pictures sent to my phone. Going to upload them, get them thrown up in that catalog.
So if you guys are looking for some bulls, hit up that Wildorado sale. It's good cause. Good kids, I think.
Well, good cattle. Especially if you see that MOC in front of it. Oh, that's going to be good cattle.
That's going to be good. Money-making, beef-raising, progeny making bulls.
No doubt. I was going through the EPDs, writing the footnotes the other day. We've got a bull that's in the top 10% in 4 or 5 of his indexes.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, bud.
You know what that tells you?
Quality genetics.
That tells you you're going to make money.
Make money hand over fist.
Buy them up.
The only thing that you can make more money with is if you could print it.
Which I hear you can.
Not legally.
Well,
we do not condone the or people printing their own money. Feel like we got to get out there.
Look at that. Guy with a job's too good to print money. Must be nice.
Okay.
And also, we've got Ballard Guns. Talked to them the other day. They've got a lot of really neat guns.
Willing and dealing.
All day long.
Just...
They got him a rifle in while we were sitting there the other day. Probably cut you a deal on it.
I bet he would.
So go check them out on their website or call them or Facebook or just however you got to do it. Just come see them.
Yeah.
They're a White Deer. East side of town. It's stop not that big a town.
And if you're there, hit us up. Come be on the podcast.
No doubt. We're always looking for guests.
If you can get it, if you can get to White Deer to buy a gun this time of year, we can get you on the podcast probably that day.
Yeah, just as soon as you're done.
Yeah.
Just as soon as you're done, you just keep on going east.
And south just a little ways.
Well, but if you go east until you can't go east anymore.
Then you got to go south, and then you go east again.
Until you can't go east anymore. Then you got to turn around and go west.
Yeah, because you went
Then you
got
to go south a little bit more.
But anyway.
So there you go. You figure out where Ballard's Guns is. You can figure out where the crow's nest based on those directions.
Vaguely.
You might miss a turn here and there, but you probably be all right. And finally, we've got Texas Beverage and Package.
In Groom, Texas.
So many good packages.
So many nice things for sale there. Can't say enough good about them.
I think they were having a sale the other day. Maybe not. I don't know. I hear the liquor business is kind of slow this month.
I've heard that.
All the losers doing dry January. I'm glad we quit that.
You know what? For our sponsor, the only reason we quit that, can't be a good customer if you don't drink in January.
Exactly.
Your local liquor store needs your support.
My cousin's in the beer sales, and he was griping about dry January the other day. I told him, you know what, bud? I got your back. I even drink your brand.
Well, that's what you want.
That is what you want. Royce had to go let the official dog of the Effed Up Farming podcast out. He didn't make it long tonight.
He didn't make it long at all.
Probably would have made it a lot longer if I'd have brought him my present that I was going to bring him. But, you know, I mean, here we are. We're doing our thing. We're living our life. We're getting ready to do a booze review. And there is no time like the present. Well, that's what he does. Oh, PETA. PETA don't believe in rules.
He don't have to follow none.
PETA doesn't understand this podcast.
I don't think he does. He does not understand.
Likes to be involved. He does not understand. But know that he is not missing anything else.
That is true. He's got to know I'm not going anywhere.
That's fair. So for Arbo's review, we've got this tasty little number that I picked up on a Black Friday sale. And it has finally, between me and a few other people, been drank down to a point that I didn't feel so bad about bringing it out here. Because I know us.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the folks would have loved the podcast that drinking this bottle turned out. But.
Yeah.
Probably would have been the last one.
The last podcast we turned out?
Yes.
What is that?
Let me tell you why. Because what we got right here is Elijah Craig Barrel Proof. This is Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Uncut, straight from the barrel. At 133 proof. That is 66.5% alcohol by volume. It has been aged 13 years and 7 months. And it is batch number
C923. Nice.
She's hot.
She sounds like she's a hot little...
Did you hear that pop?
That's a nice pop.
That's from a 3/4 drink bottle. So as we discussed before the show, I've got my glass, so now you can just tip the bottle.
You know, with something that's a 133 proof, 135 proof.
133
proof. I don't think I'm going to do that, bud. I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, well, I tried.
The option.
So this is just beautiful color.
Gorgeous caramely.
You can tell
brown.
It was in that barrel for 13 years and 7 months.
It does smell a little hot on the nose. Would you expect from 133 proof?
It doesn't smell as hot as 133 proof, though. So sweet. So caramely.
Oaky. I'm picking up some oak on the back of it. But not an offensive oak.
No.
Well, that warms your mouth nicely.
But it doesn't burn.
And then just flows, warms your throat on the way down. Got a very nice mouthfeel to it.
Yeah. Got a good flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Get like some apple.
Yeah, some that apple, caramel. Some spice, caramel. Definitely as sweet as it smells.
So good.
It is delightful.
Nectar of the gods.
I would say probably so, yes. That is very nice.
I'm not even going to put it over ice.
Are you not?
I'm not.
I'm going to, because she's definitely warmer than what I'm used to.
Maybe you're just colder than normal. It's been cold lately.
Could be. It's already numbing my tongue.
Really?
Nicely, yeah. Just like the center of it.
That's kind of weird. I can feel my tongue.
Well, that's good. And feel the edges. Just the center's a little numb.
Okay.
It's odd.
I mean, that's fair.
Oh, that is nice on ice, too.
Everything's nice on ice.
Everything is nice on ice. So what are you going to rate this bad boy, Tyler?
I'm going to give it an 8.7.
8.7.
Mm-hmm.
That is a high score.
That's a good bourbon.
That is a very good bourbon. That is a very good bourbon. I went 7.5.
It's a commendable score.
It is. It is a very good bourbon.
Now, as this is a barrel proof and, you know, uncut and all that, you're probably going to have a hard time finding this particular batch, if I was just guessing. But it is tasty.
It is. It is delightful. And for something as hot as it is, It's pretty drinkable.
It's very drinkable.
Or very drinkable, yeah. I mean, it doesn't drink as hot as what it should.
No.
That is, other for bourbon, that might be our highest single score.
I believe it.
Average rating, it is not the highest, but it is, I think, the highest single score. That's what I was looking. We got some 8.5s. We do have 1.87.
Well, okay.
So it's tied with the single highest rated bourbon. Now we do have a 9 on here.
Yeah, that was that rye.
But that's a rye.
Good rye.
Yeah, very good rye. Very good rye. Doc Swenson's when they do something, they've decided they're going to do it right.
Well, that's how you got to be in life, buddy.
It does. I mean, if you're going to do it, do it right.
You can't leave doubt.
No. No, not at all.
When you say no, that is the death of the question.
There you go. It's one way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one way to put it, definitely. Stick to your guns. Make something worth making. Like Elijah Craig with their barrel-proof bourbon. You all right over there?
Yeah, my thing came on.
Hate it when the thing came untightened.
I don't know if I bumped it or what, and then I went the wrong way, and you know how it is.
Going back the other way, and a whole deal.
It's a whole deal, but it's a deal that we do for the people.
It is. This is for you people.
Hope y'all appreciate it, because one of these days, we're not going to be around to do this anymore.
No, but by then, AI will have taken over, and so it'll be fine.
You think somebody's just going to keep cranking out podcasts?
No, I think somebody's going to put AI on it. They're going to use our voices.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Continue. Somebody's going to use AI and just keep pumping out stuff.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I have a feeling we got a couple of fanboys that are into it enough. Give you one guess who I'm expecting to lead this charge.
Figuring RD.
Yep.
Problem is, he lives in New Mexico. I don't know if they got all that AI computer stuff over there.
I bet he gets to missing the podcast, but he figures it out.
His office is in Texas.
Okay.
He can probably figure that out at work.
Yeah. You got to have somewhere to start.
Well, there you go. Well, Royce, let's kill the day. What do you got for us?
Oh, you want to start with killing the day?
I do.
All right. I was pulling up a fuck up, but we'll move into killing the day. All right, so this last weekend, I got to go to a Charles Wesley Godwin, Jason Isbell,
yes,
Turnpike Troubadours concert.
Mm-hmm.
And so in lieu of that, or since I got to do that, I'm coming with Seneca Creek by Charles Wesley Godwin. Guy puts on a hell of a 20-minute concert.
It's not his fault you didn't show up in time.
It's not my fault they didn't print the tickets right.
Not his fault.
I didn't say it was.
Some bitch is writing songs and singing them.
I said he does it. He puts on a good concert.
Yeah, for 20 minutes and he does it.
Well, the 20 minutes I got to see of it. Banger.
In the spring of 1949, that's when I crossed the county line. It's there I saw in Seneca Creek a girl named Ruth who washed her feet. I told her my name was R.C. Ferris, that I'd marry her with half a carrot. She said I do, no stone can reach the prettiest shine of this here creek. The mud was deep and the roads were wide. We'd retreat and then retake the lines. Korean winters had torn me down and killed all the boys from my hometown. But I'm coming home, Ruth, my dear. I got money in my pocket, don't you fear. We'll build a life by Seneca Green. You have everything you'll ever need.
That's a good song. I like that song.
Good song. You know, he is very ballad heavy in his songs.
Well, I mean, that's his jam. That's what he does.
It is. I mean, if you're in the mood for a ballad,
see,
look him up.
The problem is, that's a pretty sad song.
That is a sad song.
I mean, it killed all the boys from his hometown.
Well, the winners in Korea did.
And I seem to remember somebody got on to me about the Cranes of Potter because it was such a sad song.
You know what's bad is I almost did Hardwood Floors also by Charles Wesley Godwin. That is an upbeat song.
Almost.
They're mostly upbeat.
Do you really pay attention to the words?
The beat is upbeat.
Well, okay. Going off that theory, I have a very upbeat song for y'all today. So what we're going to go with is a little Treaty Oak Revival. A little Wrong Place, Wrong Time.
It's been a damn hard week, trying to walk a straight line. But I still find a way to fuck up everything in record time. I am a share of bad luck, better than none at all. But I still don't take the time to read the writing on the wall. And I can't win for losing, playing this game. Can't run from my past or my last name. It's hard to find trouble when the trouble finds me. In wrong place and wrong times, where I might be tonight.
See? Very upbeat.
That was a good beat.
It's up. Sounds miserable, but he's happy about it.
There you go.
Such a great song.
That is a good song.
Such
they put
a
out
great
some,
album.
They put out some good music.
That's a new album, too. Just came out in like November.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe Halloween?
Okay.
Late 2023.
Nice.
And you can tell somebody in that band is having a real rough go of life.
You know, it happens.
Whoever's
from time
doing
to time.
The songwriting is like really just in the middle of that shit.
You know, you can watch people's albums and tell when they've hit a rough patch usually. Mm-hmm. Or if they're feeling up, you know, maybe they had a new baby or something. Because, the whole attitude of the album.
Yeah.
Just.
That one definitely. I don't think he just had a new baby.
I think maybe he's going through a divorce or.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You know, like the rest of the songs like.
I think we talked about this a while back.
See You in Court.
Not here, yeah. But just me and you have talked about this before.
Haunted House. I'm the worst.
Maybe that he just wants somebody to have a nice day on that one.
It's got about the same tune as Fishnets.
Okay, I'm just from the song titles, you can get a real theme of what's going on.
Yeah. Really painting us a Birmingham on that deal.
He is.
So there you go. There is your selections for the week.
There you go.
As always, had a good time, everybody. We love you.
Look up the podcast.
Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Spotify.
Yeah, look up the Spotify playlist. One of the best playlists that is out there right now.
No doubt.
Especially if you like sad songs.
No doubt.
Got lots of sad songs on that deal.
Well, sad songs are the best songs.
Some of them are.
It takes an awful happy person to drive around listening to sad music.
Otherwise, you're just going to go kill yourself.
Just remember that. happy people listen to sad music.
That is true. It's what they say.
Statistically proven. All right, let's do some trivia. Get the fuck out of here.
I figured we would do our new segment, Eat Beef.
Oh, I thought we were going to have a farming fuck up.
Oh, do you want to do that? Well, I thought before we got out of here, I thought you wanted to leave.
Well, I want to fuck up first.
Okay, well, let's do our fuck up first then.
Oh, that's a bad one.
This is, it's impressive. And for some reason, I think we've seen this one, but I don't think we've done this one on here before.
I mean, I sent it to you the other day.
And I think that was the second time I'd seen it.
See, I didn't remember seeing it. So what we got here is we got us a Case tractor, and she is buried up, what do you call that, about a 45 degree angle?
Yeah.
The entire back wheel is in the dirt.
About
the front wheel is not in the dirt.
Half of the back window is... Oh, yeah, the top of the cab's touching the ground.
Yes.
The back top of cab is touching the ground. This guy has found himself a sinkhole.
I believe that's what they're called, yes. And he was hooked up to his planter. The drawbar on the planter is... I don't know if it's touching the back glass... But it is mere inches away.
Yeah, it's definitely sitting on his three-point hitch. If it's not touching the glass, the only thing that's... Oh, it's not, because, see, his glass is open.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, I'm saying the three-point is probably what's saving it from taking out that window. Somehow, they didn't spill any of their fertilizer. Very little of their fertilizer.
Just a little, no.
The boxes were at just the right level.
I'm thinking that John Deere planter might have been just a touch too much for that Case tractor.
You know, I'm not going to say it was too much, but I'm going to say after he found that hole, it was more than he wanted.
Okay. No, that was a joke, basically, but yeah. So that kind of.
Whew. Well, you know why you're supposed to pull red equipment with green tractor?
No, why?
Okay, well, because the people that design red tractors have to make red equipment pull easier so that their tractors can pull it. So if you really want to get the most out of your green tractor, hook it up to red equipment.
Okay.
Think that guy, the tractor guy on TikTok, that was what he claimed.
I don't know him. I don't watch TikTok.
You ought to, Tyler.
I'm not a fan of the Communist Party.
Let the Chinese in.
No. You're a Chinese spy, aren't you?
I am. You caught me.
What a tool. And here I thought you were just sponsored by Ariat.
Nope.
I didn't notice the other day that it's on your collar, too.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
you, man, you're really pro series on that deal,
aren't
you?
I am, man. I am. I'm ready to get back out there, start roping again.
Well, you better start legging up a horse, all I can fucking tell you. I don't know if you got one that's ready for the circuit.
Oh, I don't. Definitely do not.
I don't know if you got one you can get ready for the circuit.
I'm going to have to teach her to rope first. So, but yeah, anyway, so this
is... You're going to look great out there on the Dimmick stick horse.
I bet I would. She colored it up nice.
Well, there you go.
Painted it herself.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of them, you know, have the...
See, but it's going to be on. More accurate since it's painted. Everybody knows paint horses are slow.
Or crazy.
You better get into the breakaway, though. I don't know if you're going to have the stop turn anything. Calf roping's going to be a real son of a bitch.
Calf roping and team roping are going to suck.
You know, whenever you're out there tripping them in the calf roping, I don't know how many times they're going to let you try that. It's going to really suck whenever you get him tripped, and then you have to pull yourself up out of the dirt and suck some air back in your lungs to go over there and tie him down.
That is exactly what's going to
happen. I tied him in 4 or 5. No shit. 4 minutes, 50 seconds.
You know, that is one way to look at it.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm not circuit ready yet, but... One day, maybe.
You got the shirt for it.
I got the shirt. Once we get there, I have the shirt.
One step at a time, bud. One step at a time. So back on the fuck up. That's a pretty sad deal. I feel bad for the guy because I bet that fucking sucked.
Oh, I bet that hurt. Because it looks like the ground just gave out from underneath the back end of him.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, I mean, like, because...
But I don't know with that planter if maybe it was kind of more of a gradual...
It could have been. Yeah, you know, it might have been. It just... And it is a great big hole.
Big old hole.
Which is probably good because he may not have made it out of the cab if it had not been a big hole.
Maybe he had a window breaker.
He'd have needed it, I think, to get out of there.
Yeah.
I can't remember if the tractors have window breakers in them.
I think it depends on where you're from. I think in places with water, they put a window breaker in them.
Because I know the combines do. All the combines come with one. But I don't think any of our tractors.
Because we don't have water around.
Well, I know, but I'm saying I don't think. I'm guessing they're thinking you can just get out the back if you need to.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Don't flood your tractor.
Or roll it over where you can't get out.
You ever hit a window with a window breaker?
I have not.
Me
have you?
Me neither, but I always wanted to.
Me too.
Every time I see one of those motherfuckers, I'm like, no.
Yeah, because I know the combine
windows are expensive. This is going to suck whenever I have to drive this fucking combine for free without a fucking window.
Because you're going to be doing both at that point.
Yes.
And I don't think cardboarding it off is what you're going to want to do because you're going to want to see that side of the header.
Break the back one.
Yeah, I mean, you cardboard that one off.
Mm-hmm.
Still don't. Don't recommend it.
Then I can put a snack cubby in. Now we got a plan. We got a project for tomorrow, boss.
That's fair, but no.
My luck, I'd hit it too hard, go through both those windows.
The one in the bin and the one, yeah.
Be really fucked. I don't think we cardboard that one up. I have a really big snack bin, though.
I don't think you're going to want... Or gum. Unlimited supply of gum in Wheat Harvest.
No, because it's... Might be emptying every time it gets to the bottom of that window. Basically, I just leave the fucking auger on. Like, hey, Cartman, you're with me now.
Come on. All right. Well, that was a fun fuck up.
It was a fun fuck up. I like those.
I do too.
Best part of the podcast.
And even though we had already seen it, Chris Terry, I appreciate you reaching out and sending that one to me.
Which one was it?
That one.
Oh, yeah.
Because I pulled it out of his messages.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and give old Chris Terry the credit for that one, Tyler.
Way to go, bud. Why don't you quit being a stranger and come visit us? Drink some of this fine Elijah Craig bourbon if you're here tonight. So Hadley said he wants to come back on again last night.
Well, he keeps saying that, but we can't ever get him tied down.
Yeah, I told him I wasn't going to hold my breath.
And here we are without him.
Well, I didn't mention tonight. I didn't even text him.
You know, I thought about it. And
he just casually said he wanted to come.
I didn't want
to. He said the people wanted to know what he was up to.
They probably do. Some of them.
Was on a banger of a hunt yesterday morning.
It looked like it. Looked like it.
Said he straight whacked them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good.
It was the last day of season, or end of season, you know, so.
I think we're fixing to get into the snow conservation.
Yeah, which we don't really do that.
Used to, we had several people that come out and do that because we used to have a big group of snows that would come through, but I don't know if there's the birds in the area right now for it anymore or not.
Probably not, but they were hunting the roost. All right, cool. Fuck it, we're done.
Well, that's fair.
Kick them off. Send them on.
Well, they got mad earlier in the season when somebody did that.
Everybody does. Everybody does.
Mad.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, but I mean, it's last day. Why not?
I'm on board.
Yeah. Bet that was a fun hunt.
Except if there was water. You know what that means.
Waders.
Exactly.
And it's foggy.
And they were laying out.
And it was foggy.
Would have been a good excuse for your poor shooting.
Well, yeah. Couldn't see nothing. It's foggy.
It's like, oh, y'all shooting, not shooting.
All right, Tyler, what's been going on?
Well, I'll tell you this much. It's getting hot in her. I'm fine. I just took my vest off.
We can still turn it down a little bit. Not going to hurt anything.
We
don't have somebody here to complain about it this week.
It's been cold.
Been chilly. Been a bit on the chilly side.
At least we got to retire the chainsaw for a little bit.
Both of them, yes, sir. It is nice.
For those of you that don't know, if you ever get in a situation where you got some pretty thick ice, electric chainsaw.
They work wonders.
Really, really, I mean, it's still a chore.
I mean, it's,
you still got to scoop out them 8-inch chunks.
It is. But and getting you still them to break the chunks,
it's not so bad.
You still got to break it up.
Yeah.
But the technique we took is you cut your outline out.
Yep.
And then you take your axe and you break it up. And then you take your fork and you scoop it out. Just so everybody listening knows our technique. Because I think the other one is you just chop it up with the chainsaw.
Which I did not like as much.
I did not either.
Because it was hard to scoop it out because they were cut into such tight squares. Yeah.
Well, that, and it's a lot of work on the chainsaw. You go through a pretty good amount of battery doing that.
Interesting.
But it seems like it's easier because, you know, the hardest part about breaking ice is breaking that outline out. Once you get to breaking it up, even when it's fairly thick with an axe, it breaks up pretty easy.
Yes.
So that's why I like our strategy here, especially when you got three people running the Chinese fire drill.
Yep.
You know, it goes pretty quick.
You can break some tanks.
You can.
Believe me, and you had it done by what, 9:05 one morning?
Think so.
9:10?
Definitely done by 9:30. I think
it was like a 40-minute deal.
Yeah. And then we did it even quicker the next day when we had old U-turns help.
No kidding. For once, he didn't turn everything into more help. Way to go, bud. I bet he's wishing he had this podcast to listen to tomorrow.
I bet he is. Or and the next day. Evening. Yeah.
He's probably there by now.
Well, I met this afternoon when he was driving down there.
Well, he couldn't have it then because we weren't making it yet.
Well, it's true. Can't have it tomorrow because I doubt it's been dropped yet.
Fuck no. Not a chance.
Which we apologize for the long run between podcasts right now, but things is kind of slow.
And I'm busy.
And we've been breaking lots of ice. Taking care of lots of cattle. And Tyler is a head coach. Mood. Tyler is a head coach for a successful youth sports program.
The Martin Machines.
The Martin Machines. I like it. I like it, Tyler. So how is the coaching game going?
It's a delight. Every day's a gift.
I'm glad you're thinking of it that way, Tyler.
We're going to take it one game at a time. And, you know, hopefully we can pull this thing off.
That's a good way to look at it. Good way to look at it.
Yeah. It's the only way to look at it, really. For those of you that are considering getting into the youth coaching game, first off, have better friends than I do. So I kind of got shanghaied into this deal. And secondly, I hope you are not as competitive as I am.
Is that what's killing you?
Really is, bud. You know, everybody's always said, well, you're just there to have fun and learn the game. No, we're playing a game. We're keeping score. We're there to win.
I mean, you got to go with the mentality that you want to win.
Can't win, don't play.
Exactly.
It's not enough to want to win. You have to hate to lose. Your dog's dumb. I'm pretty sure he just fell down the stairs or fell up the stairs. I don't know. Because it's like you heard him fall and then he scratched the door. You're going to get another hat slap if you don't quit.
He may have slipped off of a step. I'm not sure.
A little fucker jumped on me, and I pushed him off. He jumped on me again. I pushed him off. He jumped on me the third time, and I took my hat off and smacked him on the head with it.
He deserved it.
He did not like it.
I'm sure he didn't. He's still a puppy, though.
Damn near a year old.
It will be in about 4 days, I think.
Damn near a year old.
Still doesn't make him any less of a puppy.
Yeah. It does make him less of a puppy. Because he's damn near a year old.
I mean, he's too large to be a puppy, but... So when do dogs quit being puppies?
In a year.
Oh, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't...
Unless they're great big dogs. They don't give them two.
Well, that's fair.
Your Danes and such.
Well, I was going to say, like, even a lab, because a lab has lots of puppyish tendencies.
Well, they're just monsters. They're land sharks. That's fine. They're not. It's not because he's a puppy. It's because he's a fucking land shark.
Okay. You know, that is an accurate description of a lab.
If you have hit your full size at or before 8 months, then at a year old, you're no longer a puppy.
Okay. So Hyde's got about 4 days left
mm-hmm.
to enjoy being a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you hear that, Hyde? Enjoy it.
Unless, there's a caveat here, it's my dog because she's still a puppy. But she's a good puppy.
You know, my last dog was a puppy his whole life.
He was always going to be, but she's going to outlive me. She's only 10.
Only 10. That's, you know, still gets around good for a 10-year-old dog.
She does. Because she's a puppy.
There you go. Because she's a puppy.
Yeah. We're going to try to break that one dog's record. I say try. We're going to destroy that one dog's record.
Well, I hope so.
So what was that, like a 32-year-old Kelpie or something like that?
I believe that is correct.
I don't remember that dog's name, though. World's oldest... dog. Bobby.
Bobby.
A Refugio de Alentejo.
Portuguese pooch.
Huh. No, they suspended his title.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. I didn't read why.
Bobby's title?
Mm-hmm.
He lived to 31. He ate human food. He was a mastiff.
That's not a mastiff.
It's what this says. He was a Portuguese mastiff.
Guinness World Record suspends oldest dog title. Controversy. Okay, so prior to Bobby's death, the oldest dog on record was an Australian hound named Bluey, who died at the age of 29 in the year 1939.
So I'm not seeing anything.
Not a single one of my veterinary colleagues believe Bobby was actually 31 years old. Danny Chambers, a veterinarian and council member of the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wonder why.
Had only been formally registered in the Portuguese government's database for cats, dogs, and other pets in July of 22.
That's 1 year. Because he died October last year.
Hmm.
Let's face it, there was enough evidence for Guinness World Records to accept it, so most likely it's not fake.
They suspended his title.
Well, this was in... When was that? 8 months ago.
This was the January 17th of 2024 article okay. I'm reading. That's right. Suck it, Bobby. We're Bluey fans.
Well, you know what? It's a fitting thing that Bluey... was the oldest living dog, because I think that's going to be the oldest running cartoon show for kids.
Maybe.
If they can keep getting it to America.
See, the only thing that's going to screw them is the kids getting older.
It is true. They'll have to find somebody else to voice it.
And that never works out well.
It usually doesn't.
It's like whenever old... What's that guy's name on Blue's Clues? Steve?
Yeah.
It's like whenever he went to college or whatever. Brought in his cousin.
Is that what they did?
That show really went to shit.
Well, and then there were all sorts of rumors about that guy killing himself. And
oh, he was alive.
Well, I know, but I mean, there were rumors abounding that...
Yeah.
He had offed
himself. But he was alive. He was just balding.
But it didn't help the show any, I don't think.
I doubt it hurt it, because I doubt it was like the kids in third grade at the elementary schools. Like, do you remember Steve? Offed himself. No, it was the people our age that were already in college. It's like, you remember that dude from Blue's Clues? He's gone.
just dust. So...
I don't remember what we were talking about before your dog so very rudely interrupted all that.
I think we were changing topics, hopefully.
Okay.
Hopefully I think we were changing topics.
Well, fair enough. What you got?
We were talking about coaching. That's what it was.
Coaching. We can quit talking about coaching. I'm tired of talking about coaching. I will say also another tip for all of you people that want to be coaches, get yourself a communications director, because group chats are the worst, so I made my wife do it.
How do you feel about the fact that a guy in Minnesota was able to raise 314 bushel corn on only 7 inches of rain, Tyler?
Good for him.
I was impressed by that. I mean, it's Minnesota, so it didn't get real hot. I think they had a couple days in the 90s for their heat streak.
Right.
And other than that, it was pretty temperate. And he got rains just at the right times. And he had to have started with some in his soil. To achieve that, wouldn't you think?
I don't know.
It was planted on May 1st, harvested on October 11th, 40-acre field. He's contributing it to the hybrids that we've got now. We got an inch, 1.1 inches in May, an inch and a half in June, 3.9 in July, and just a half inch in August, for a grand total of 7 inches all season. About a third of their normal rainfall. Seems low. Thought they got a lot more rain up there than that.
It was dry year.
I mean, it was.
Did
but
you
mean,
not hear?
I mean, the 321 inches.
Yeah.
Being, which I guess that's just in that time frame, probably.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot higher rainfall areas.
Seasonal year, rain.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
You start off with some moisture. You don't get super hot. Catch a few timely rains, you know, when you plant it. V4, V5. V8, tassel, grain fill. I mean,
yeah,
maybe possible. Like you said, there's some incredible hybrids out there these days.
No, I would agree with that. I would agree with that 100%.
Like the one the old Hula planted this year. I mean, apparently that is a bin buster.
What did he end up making this year?
I don't remember the number. I can look that up, though.
But this guy's other two fields didn't fare near as well. One got taken out by wind and hail, and the other one...
623 bushels.
God almighty.
Mm-hmm. 623.84.
I would like to see what it's like cutting that for just once.
Nah, you couldn't do it.
I don't have enough trucks. Not even close.
It's his 12th national win and his 5th world record.
I mean, he just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
But I think that guy's got a lot of money invested in doing just the corn growers contest, just in winning that deal.
I mean, so he put out 575 pounds of nitrogen, 156 pounds of phos, and 480 pounds of potassium, and 12 pounds of boron, and 80 pounds of sulfur.
It seems like an expensive mix.
Probably pays off at 623.
You would hope so.
I mean, depending on the sales rep, yeah, it should be just A-okay.
I mean, that is $3,500 to the acre.
Well, and he was selling it to an ethanol plant, so we don't exactly know what he was getting.
Which, where is he at?
Virginia?
See, I'm not sure what their basis is there. But you get up north in the Corn Belt, and their basis is usually the opposite of ours, even at an ethanol plant.
Yeah, it's Charles City, Virginia.
So I don't know what their basis would be even selling to an ethanol plant.
I bet he there. Made money.
I bet he did. Like I said, $3,500 to the
That's
acre.
That's hula corn. Everybody wants that shit. He probably doesn't even have to haul it. People just takes bids.
Who wants it? Come get it. Bring a lot of trucks.
If you'd have listened to me all summer, and you'd have done exactly what I told you to, when I told you to, we still wouldn't have made $623
bucks of corn. That's what I was waiting for that one, because I was going to call bullshit if you said we would have.
We could have. We'll never know.
I would be
surprised.
We don't
know how much grain we left on the floor.
Apparently, we left a lot out here by my house.
Well, that's fact.
Because the cows.
I don't want to hear no bullshit about how that dry land corn didn't make any corn. There's plenty of corn. You didn't get any corn.
It's what it seems like.
We got corn piles all over up there now.
Cows found all of it.
Jesus. A lot of corn.
A lot of corn.
One of those situations like we were talking about the other day, you know, get up. Get out. Walk around the machine. See what you're leaving behind.
I think I did on that one. And I still don't know where it all came from. Maybe I need to go to the eye doctor. Maybe I need to go see our good friend and maybe future sponsor, the official eye doctor of the podcast.
I could use some eye doctoring.
The kook.
But I like my eye doctor, and I don't want to have to go to fucking Childress.
I don't either. I like my eye doctor, too. No offense, Amanda. But
and apparently, she doesn't even let you in whenever a good friend comes to see you.
Well, wouldn't you force your way in?
I'm just saying. Parker deserved better, Amanda. And if you don't like the way we're talking about you, perhaps you should come up here and stick up for yourself.
Maybe you should.
Chairs always open.
I mean, we'll have anybody.
We've got two chairs. Bring your husband, because we know you're going to need a DD.
Either that or you can crash in the spare bedroom.
I don't know. I've seen hungover Amanda, too.
Well, that
like, how long are you willing to let her stay here?
We'll have a bowl of
Cantaloupe
in the morning. It'll be fine.
Just put you a scoop of vanilla ice cream in there.
There you go. Cure all.
That is delightful. I wish I'd have known about that in college.
I hadn't tried that. I'm going to have to try
Cut
that.
Cut a cantaloupe in half, scoop seeds out, and then you put a scoop of ice cream in it.
Oh, that sounds
like
good.
Like a fresh picked cantaloupe.
Yeah.
So the ice cream cools it off, and cantaloupe and ice cream, surprisingly good together.
You know, I'm not that surprised by that.
Me neither. I learned that from some good friends up north.
Interesting.
They plant cantaloupes and stuff in their skips.
Really?
Like if you break down, you stop, you know, and you forget to back up, you leave a skip there. I think if sometimes they're just leaving skips so they can go out and plant cantaloupes. But, yeah.
Okay. That's not a bad idea.
Mm-mm.
And you got fresh cantaloupe.
Problem is, you got to be you got to be aware of where you plant them. You don't want to spray them.
Well, that's true. I can see that being
it's
a problem.
It's kind of like the old sweet corn patch.
Back before you had Roundup Ready sweet corn?
Yep. You'd just be chugging along. It's like, this corn's awful. Oh, shit.
Thank God for Roundup Ready sweet corn.
Mm-hmm. Now you're going to have to get Enlist sweet corn. Apparently, that's the way of the future.
Apparently. Oh, we were not going to be able to plant any sweet corn this year. Oh, I'm planting it on my field.
Yeah?
Because everything's going to have to be Liberty Link.
Doesn't have to be.
Well, when the sprayer goes across it, it's going to need to be.
Spray guy will remember it. It'll be fine.
I know my spray guy. And no, he won't.
I bet he will.
I mean, we can go with that.
I'm just going to flip a couple switches.
I mean, there is that potential, but I think we'll still just plant it on a place that we're not going to spray Liberty.
That's fine, too.
And we've got one of those.
With that attitude.
Hopefully we just have one of those.
Well, it could be three places.
No, I think it's just going to be one.
Okay, fine.
I think it's just going to be one.
Fine. Just make sure you use up all that spare seed in the barn because your granddad's get all worked up about it.
That's a fact. He was on a roll today.
Yeah.
He was on a roll today.
Kind of surprised we didn't start throwing stuff away.
I was expecting that to happen.
Well, I noticed you just kind of wandered off in the middle of that conversation. It was a real Terry move.
At least I didn't actually leave.
Only because you thought that guy from the auction was coming today.
But still, it wouldn't have mattered to Dad. Dad would have just left.
Okay.
He would have loaded up and just disappeared if he thought cleaning was fixing to happen.
Some things never change.
No, they don't. And that is one of them. So, what else you got you want to talk about, Tyler?
Tax season's coming up.
It is.
Hope you're already prepared for all that.
Unfortunately. Are you?
Waiting on some paperwork.
Me too.
Don't worry, I got yours.
I figured you did since I hand-delivered it.
Asshole. Hey. Too tight to spend 53 cents on a stamp.
Well, when I see you every day?
I'm just saying. Could have been more professional about it. Just put it in the mail.
Could have. I mean, hell, Granny put mine in the mail.
Exactly, because she's professional. I don't know. I've been doing this an hour.
Okay.
It seems like enough, doesn't it?
I think so. Let's do our eat beef segment. I'm going to give you a recipe to use up your tenderloin tails, the heads, the pieces that you don't cut. I'm going to do stroganoff.
Who doesn't love beef stroganoff?
I mean, it is good. You take them.
A real Russian delicacy.
It is. Made by a French chef. Four Russian noblemen, Count Stroganoff.
Aptly named.
It is.
What are the odds that his name is Count Stroganoff and then they made beef stroganoff?
Right? I mean, just
like so how did that just work out, you know?
Just crazy. Just crazy.
Just think, if another guy had been there, we could be eating like Count Romanoff or Beef Romanoff.
We could have.
Beef Putin.
That sounds kind of funny.
It is a little funny. Might make me a beef Putin recipe. Back to your point.
All right. So you take your pieces of tenderloin that you you trimmed off of your fillet. You cut them into about 1-inch strips, 2 inches long or so. Good, you know, pretty good size of meat there.
Correct.
And you put them in a pan. You sear them off after you seasoned them. Sear them off. Pull them back out of the pan. Then you put your mushrooms and your onions in the pan.
Okay.
And you cook them down.
Okay.
Then you put your garlic in there.
Okay.
And then you put your little bit of broth.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of broth, a little bit of cream.
Mm-hmm.
And you let that simmer for a little bit. And you put some Dijon mustard and a little Worcestershire, little S&P. And if you want to thicken it up with some sour cream at that point, you add that. You might temper your sour cream before you do that so that it doesn't curdle when you put it in the pan.
I just use the Mexican sour cream.
Oh, okay, where's that? And you either make mashed potatoes or you make egg noodles to put it on at this point.
Or you slice potatoes thinly and throw it in there.
Oh, yeah, or that. I hadn't tried that yet. I still want to try that.
Fucking delightful.
It sounds like it.
It does help if you parboil the potatoes, just from a time perspective, before you slice them.
I could see that.
But it's easier to slice them really paper thin if you don't. So you run through your mandolin and they don't break.
Yeah. Could you parboil them after you slice them?
As thin as I cut them, they tend to fall apart.
If they're that thin, do you really need to parboil them?
I'm just saying it speeds it up.
Okay. That's fair. And then after you get your sauce.
You also don't want to thicken it if you use potatoes.
I could see that.
The starch will thicken it up.
I could see that. But proceed. After you get your sauce made with your mushrooms, your onions, and everything, then you throw your meat back in there, warm it back up just a little bit, but you don't want to cook it anymore. Because, I mean, you probably already got it to a nice mead rare. So it doesn't take very long to just kind of heat it through. And then you serve it up on your bed of noodles or with your potatoes or on your mashed potatoes. And it is a delightful little treat.
It's delightful. I love beef stroganoff.
I do too.
It's my favorite of the hamburger helpers.
Mine as well.
Although the four cheese lasagna is...
It's not bad.
It's right up there with it.
It's not bad. But yeah, homemade stroganoff. Once you do that... I've also heard people using stew meat or short back ribs.
Yes.
To do this with, you just got to braise the meat a lot longer.
So I will give you a tip that I noticed on there. If you cook your mushrooms first in a dry pan and cook them till they scream, then take them out and then sear your meat and then cook your onions to where they're almost done. And then, you know, add your garlic and all that. And then put your mushrooms back in and cook for just a second before you put your broth in. The mushrooms suck up a lot more of that flavor from the broth and the butter and stuff.
Okay. See, I cook the mushrooms till there's not much liquid left in them and then add everything.
But if you start that with a dry pan, then it cooks them better without your onions and such.
Okay. Because the onions add quite a bit of liquid too. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. It's Alton Brown tip from his mushroom stroganoff recipe.
Okay. I'll keep that one in mind.
You just got to cook them until they scream.
Till they scream.
Mm-hmm.
Do they literally scream?
Yes.
Really?
They go, ee-ee-ee.
Interesting.
That's how you know they're done.
Okay. I've never heard a mushroom do that.
Cook them long enough in a dry pan, they will. Dead serious.
I believe you. I believe you. I just hadn't ever heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
We podcasting or are we texting?
Sorry, I got somebody that has some cheap portable windbreaks for sale. If anybody's interested, hit me up.
I'm not interested.
Are you not?
No.
Okay.
The cows would probably like them.
They're in a pasture that has...
That's fenced off.
Well, we're going to take care of that. Maybe tomorrow.
We might.
Let's see what the weather does.
It's going to rain.
Hope so.
We still got to do our digging, too.
Going to do that tomorrow?
Probably not tomorrow. It's going to rain.
Hope so.
And it's still pretty fucking wet out there.
It is getting pretty soggy.
Here's the deal, folks. If you didn't know, you can put a rebuild kit in a frost-free hydrant. If you have a frost-free hydrant that is giving you any shit whatsoever, immediately take it apart and put the rebuild kit in it. Don't fuck with it. Don't try to mess with it. Don't, you know, nurse it and limp it along. As soon as you think you have a problem, put the rebuild kit in it, or you'll end up borrowing your buddy's backhoe and enlisting help to come dig it out and replace it.
That is, in fact, what is going to happen. After
we started this project with one hydrant that leaked and one hydrant that wouldn't come on. Now I have one that won't shut off at all and one that won't come on at all. There's no medium ground over there at the Martin place.
And the one that won't shut off at all won't come on all the way either.
Comes on pretty good ways.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
I know the other day when we had it on, it would not fill a tank very fast.
So I got to timing it yesterday. Say yesterday or today that I did that?
Yesterday, I think.
Yeah. No, today's Thursday. I did that today.
Okay.
That's why I was late this morning. That's about how long it should take to fill up half of that tank.
Oh, okay.
Because they had it drained down to about halfway.
Fair enough. Okay.
They could still get to it, but they're getting close.
Yeah.
We're getting to the end of their necks. That's why I did it today.
Okay.
Because I got thinking, it took like 2 hours to fill that up the first time.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize it took that long.
Yeah, it's not a very big tank, but it took pretty good while.
Yeah. Well, you're just filling it with a garden hose.
Yeah. And that's way out at the edge of town, and everybody's water had been shut off day before yesterday, and so I imagine a lot of people were catching up on shit.
Yeah.
So.
Doing laundry and
tail end of the line there, it's even worse whenever the fucking cemetery decides they need to water the grass.
That's what I've heard.
Try to get the dead people to come up.
Can't
even get enough pressure to run garden quarter-inch drip line over there on my side.
So far, the cemetery has not been successful on watering anybody up.
It's probably for the best.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of zombies.
I think that is a sign of the end of times.
I believe you are right.
I did read that book, World War Z, though. That did sound kind of like fun.
For a minute.
I don't know. That one old gal, she seemed to be doing pretty good.
Some of those stories are pretty good in that book.
Or like the dude that was hanging out with the nun. Remember they were killing zombies?
I guess I forgot about that one.
I think that was World War Z. Yeah.
Probably was, because World War Z is just like a bunch of stories about different people.
Yeah.
And how they handle it.
A lot better than the movie.
A lot better than the movie. A lot different than the movie.
The movie was good, though.
Oh, it was. But it wasn't the same as the book at all.
No. No. I did like the part in the movie where, you know, he runs through the compound to get to the bio lab or whatever. And he's sitting there and his comms go off and he can't figure out which syringe he's supposed to be injecting himself with. And they're watching. They're like, as long as he doesn't pick one out of that case he's looking at right there, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he didn't.
That's how cinema works.
Sometimes.
Usually.
Sometimes not at all.
There is that. I mean, you've got I Am Legend where nobody, that doesn't go anywhere where you think it is.
Pretty much.
Another good zombie movie, though. Zombie-esque movie?
It's got weird zombies. I didn't like that aspect. I like my zombies slow, not fast.
Fast zombies are really, I think, harder to deal with.
I don't think they're really zombies at that point. It's like they've mutated into something else. It's like I don't like glittery vampires.
Not many people do, I don't think. Actually, there's a lot
of people. Oh, there's a shitload of people that like their vampires glittery.
Glittery vampires they're not real vampires.
No.
Because you're not supposed to be a vampire out in the sunlight.
Unless you drink a lot of fairy blood.
I forgot about that part in True Blood.
Yep. That was pretty nifty.
Yeah. Handy trick they had there.
Those are neat vampires.
Those are pretty good. That is a good vampire show.
Probably the best vampire show.
You know, might be.
Outside of maybe Sesame Street. I learned a lot from The Count.
Like how to count?
Pretty well already knew how to count, but, you know.
Take a lot of life lessons from him?
I did.
Okay.
I'm an old cookie monster.
I like cookies.
I bet you do. That's going to be a button now.
All right. Well, Tyler, you want to give these guys some trivia?
Okay, everybody, here's your options. You got starts with G, games people play since 1759, anything flows, and popular culture. What'll it be?
Let's go starts with
G. I'm asking the people.
Oh.
But I'm just kidding. They can't answer me.
That's what I was wondering. Let's start with a G.
What was the rapidly growing economic period of the late 19th century called?
The great, what was that? It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it. It
starts with a G.
Because it's wherever all the machinery and everything was invented, like factories and.
So you're thinking more of the Industrial Revolution.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
This is connected to, but not necessarily a direct correlation of that.
I'm not sure.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
All of their homes were gilded.
The Gilded Age.
There you go.
Well, that was a good hint. I liked it.
You got a fucking better one? There's a TV show about it on HBO Max.
Okay.
No, is it HBO? I think it's HBO Max. Maybe it's not. Anyway, it's called The Gilded Age. And it's about all the old money being mad about the new money people that have bigger houses and more money.
Okay.
Fucking money people.
Fucking money people. Do you already move yours to the bottom or?
I did.
Okay. So we've got starts with a G, games people play since 1759, anything flows, or popular culture.
Popular culture.
On which game show are contestants told by Groucho Marx to say the secret word?
Password?
No, sir.
I don't even know who Groucho Marx is.
I think I've heard of him before, but I've never heard of this game show before. So
okay, what is it?
You Bet Your Life.
Never, I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Okay. I don't think I have either, Tyler.
Not really a big game show watcher, though.
You know, we used to watch a lot of them at Granny's house at lunch.
Yeah.
Sometimes I turn the Game Show Network on, but other than that,
no. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader was always good.
That was a decent one.
Obviously, The Price is Right.
Probably the best, especially when old Bob Barker was doing it.
Yeah, I like Drew Carey, but I don't like him on that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Family Feud's always good.
You know, even with the different hosts they've had throughout the years, it's always stayed pretty solid.
Yeah.
I don't watch that so much, but I see lots of clips of it.
I love Steve Harvey.
I mean, he's doing a bang-up job with that.
There's another one that I can't... Oh, Jeopardy.
Yeah.
I think it's gone downhill lately. I don't watch it anymore, but...
Well, I don't know. Have they even picked a new full-time host for it?
I don't know. I got tired of the drama.
I hear you. Well, I want to say a big shout-out to all of our sponsors. We've got Cliff's Farm, Smoked Cattle, Meat Club, Lambs, Texas Beverage and Package, and Ballard Guns. Go hit them up. Good people. Good products.
Reasonably priced.
Exactly. Everybody stay safe out there. Have a good week.
Hope you stay warm. Hope you go and do good.
There you
See
go.
You. Love you. Bye.